From Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Thank you so much, and great having you listen in to our weekend edition of Life Change. And as you know, Monday through Friday, we teach the Bible. And on Fridays, we're having some guests in along with us to teach. And on Saturdays, we always reserve it for something special. And the teacher that we have with us on the weekend is Pastor Bob Kadlecic from Montrose, Pennsylvania. For those of you that are in the WPEL, WPGM area, you know that church well and know him well. For those of you in other parts of the country, and some of you that are in different areas of the world, including our network now that we have in Africa, you're in for some good Bible teaching today. And I want to remind you to pray for our ministry, as we are having a lot of good things that are happening. Some new books will be coming out soon, and an online college that we're developing, and we are delighted with so many of you that have been contacting us, and we've been able to share time with you. So we're just so glad for all of that. But sit back and enjoy yourself. If you're driving, stay alert as you go down the highway, and let's think about the Word of God today. I really like what we're talking about here today, Pastor Bob. I see here the thought starting point. I always like to start something. I've always found it easier to start than finish, but finish is more important than starting. And so tell us what the starting point is about.
Well, anything that lasts is built on a solid foundation. So that's the way I'm using the word starting point. You know, Jesus says a wise man builds his house on the rock. And so I guess the question is, what is the starting point, or what is the foundation of your faith? And it sounds like a simple question, but there's a lot more to it than most people think.
Yeah, and there's a lot of misconceptions and things that people misunderstand. A lot of people look at experiential things. So help us get into this starting point idea. I've talked to many people, I know you have as well, Pastor Bob, that really most of this is experiential. And so help us out with that.
Yeah, when I talk to people or ask them about the foundation of their faith, they usually answer with one of two things. One, they may talk about the most important things they believe, and those are certainly foundational, very important. Resurrection of Jesus, or the infallibility of God's word. But the foundation, I think, is actually beneath that. It's not just what you believe, it's why you believe what you believe. Why do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus, or that God's word is completely true? You know, why do you believe the Bible tells me so, but you don't believe the Quran tells me so? To me, that's the foundation. Why? And some people, when asked about the foundation of their faith, their answer is not what they believe, but when they first believed it. And of course, that is really important too. We must all at some point in time make a decision. And when someone says, I've always been a Christian, that's troubling, because there is always a first step. But again, beyond when you accepted Christ and as your Savior and Lord, and what you believe, why do you believe it? And I think this is a question not just for Christians. I think atheists need to ask this question. What is the foundation, the starting point of my atheism? What is it based on? Why do I believe, if you're a Buddhist, why do I believe in Buddhism? This is a great bridge even to talk to those who are far from Christ. And I think this is really important, because it's one of the biggest reasons people leave Christianity, because they never really examined why they believe what they believed. And I think it's a big blind spot for a lot of churches as far as teaching and Christians, because sometimes you can believe the same thing as somebody else, but for completely different reasons. And some of those reasons may be bad reasons and flimsy, and you have one experience or one argument and it all collapses like a house of cards. In fact, my own experience was really, I believed that Jesus died and rose again for me and all of that because my parents told me so. And that worked until I was about a teenager. And then you see a friend commit suicide, you have, you know, a child dies in an accident, and you just wonder, well, why should I believe the Bible? I think the foundation of many people's faith as a child is not good enough to withstand the experiences and logic of the adult mind.
Yeah, so there are a lot of whys, aren't there, Pastor Bob? As you're speaking and sharing today, I can think of many experiences I've had with people. I think I've mentioned, I know I've mentioned on this program, I think you and I were on one time, twice I doubted my faith. One was as a teenager, and I read about Hinduism and other, it wasn't so much Islam, but Hinduism and other places like that where there were a lot of gods. And maybe this is a geographic thing and a cultural thing where you grow up as what you are. But then I recognize what you're talking about there with the resurrection. There's nothing like the resurrection. But then secondly, I'll never forget an experience I had of being in a church one Sunday. And again, kind of questioning this whole thing as a teenager. And at our church, Pastor Bob, they always began the service the same way. It was choir marched out, beautiful choir with robes, and we sang the doxology. It was beautiful. Then there was the invocation where the pastor prayed this rather lengthy prayer. Then there was the Gloria Patri, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. And then we all remained standing, and we sang the first hymn of the morning. And I remember the first hymn that morning was, "My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me." And that changed it for me. But I guess that was kind of like an experience. So tell us about these whys. And how do we get underneath what we're talking about here?
Yeah, there's a lot of really good things. You know, I think we grow, right, as believers. And babies do need milk. They do need certain things. But then as you grow, you may need other things to help you continue to have a robust and strong faith. And I do think most, maybe even most people, the foundation of their faith as a new believer is an experience. You know, I prayed this prayer, an incredible experience of peace flooded over me. And that's wonderful. I experienced that. But that feeling is not going to get me through tough times when I don't have that feeling anymore and I feel alone. And like my prayers are bouncing off an iron ceiling. And so if I believe Jesus rose from the dead because I had this great feeling, then I can have another experience and another feeling, and it will convince me that Jesus didn't rise. And another bad, so that's a fragile foundation for your faith. And another one is like a series of coincidental events, you know, different people I've talked with, you know, one individual, you know, said I was going to kill myself, and the phone rang, and it was a friend who was a Christian following Jesus and said they were coming over, and you just think, what are the chances? You know, that had to be God. Or someone survives a horrific car accident that should have killed, you see the car and you're like, how did you survive? I've talked to people who've had dreams and even heard a voice, and I'm not even saying those things don't happen. I just think that There needs to be more than that to really hold, to be a firm foundation and the best starting point for your faith.
You know, I remember, Pastor Bob, that, I don't know if you remember the name Bob Harrington or not, but back years ago, Bob was a well-known evangelist. I think he was an insurance salesman and got saved, and he had quite a testimony. And he tells the story that he got up to give his testimony the first time, and he was talking to an individual, and he was talking about this wonderful experience of coming to Christ. So the man said, well, I want that. How do I do that? Well, he had no idea what to tell him. And he was sitting in the third row back, if I remember right, on the outside aisle of this church. He said, what you have to do is go to that third row back and sit there, and that's where it happens at. Well, he was telling the best that he knew at the time. His experience was very vivid, but it wasn't based on a whole lot of authority. So what do we tell people about these personal experiences, and what do they mean?
I think that brings up a good point, that our own personal experiences are not necessarily transferable. And I've been in some settings where we've called these weird God stories. And I have weird God stories where, you know, God showed up in my life, and coincidences and incredible experiences and feelings. But you're right, you can't, how do you transfer that to someone else? And so the foundation of my faith, you know, even as a child, you know, I believe because my parents told me so. But as I got older, realized, you know what, my parents have been wrong about things. And what about other people with other parents who say something completely different? And even the good people in my church when I grew up, and I grew up in a great church, First Baptist in Johnson City, a lot of really good, godly people. But when I became adult, I realized not everybody in my church was good and godly. There were, and I don't use this word lightly, evil people in that church. Just like anywhere, there's good people, there's bad people. And I think the new foundation for my faith, which isn't really important about me, I really stumbled upon what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 5. It's interesting, Paul doesn't say, I had this experience. Because if anybody could have, it was Paul. I mean, he literally saw a bright light, the voice of God, blinded, then supernaturally, miraculously healed days later. But he doesn't say, man, I believe because I had these amazing experiences. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 6, I passed on to you what was most important and what had been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. And then goes on, he was seen by Peter and the 12, and after that seen by more than 500 followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. And so Paul talking there, he's not talking about the New Testament. 1 Corinthians is one of the first five books written in the New Testament. So there really are no New Testament scriptures that he's referring to. He's referring to the Old Testament. And I think he's referring to prophecies in the Old Testament. And for me, the impossibly precise prophecies of the Old Testament scriptures, just as the scriptures said, is the foundation that I have found as an adult that has been stronger than any experiences or coincidences or feelings that I might have in my life. You know, it's not because the internet told me so, or that's how I was raised, but it's because Jesus died and rose just as the scriptures predicted.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into that with you here a little bit now. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dino Padron talking to you today. We're delighted you're listening in, and this is part of our ministry. We're delighted that many people contact us through emails and letters, and if you want to contact us, please do so. I would encourage you to go to our webpage at DinoPadronMinistries.com or .org and get all the information there about our ministry. We're delighted to have you listen in. And what Monday through Friday on these stations, we do Bible teaching, and on Saturdays we have interviews, and also monthly with Pastor Bob, we have this good, wonderful teaching from the Word of God. So thank you for listening in today. You really bring up a good point here about prophecy and the Scripture, and what you just said I think may be new to some people, this whole idea of prophecy and what Paul was speaking about there, and very accurately you portray to us that the Scriptures he speaks about are some of the Old Testament Scriptures. There are preachers today that don't want us to believe in the Old Testament, and they say it really doesn't relate to today, and yet that is so false, that is so inaccurate. So tell us what you're talking about there with these prophecies.
Yeah, there's a lot, and you know, you could probably take multiple shows, but Isaiah 53 has some incredible predictions about Jesus' crucifixion. You know, by his stripes you were healed, and just about his burial, and assigned a grave with the wicked, but being buried in a rich man's tomb, that seems contradictory. What do you mean? And how that all played out. Micah predicts his birthplace, but there's two that really, the first one especially I'd love to talk about is Psalm 22. Daniel 9 is super convincing too, but Psalm 22 starts off, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it quotes Jesus on the cross 1,000 years before Jesus died. And, you know, you can compare that to Matthew 27, 46 and Mark 15, 34. But as a skeptic, so here's the thing. I wanted to approach Psalm 22. It has a number of prophecies as a skeptic. So because honestly, that's kind of how I'm wired. I am not an easily, this sometimes frustrates Becky, my wife, but I just want proof. I want evidence, things like that. And so coming at Psalm 22 as a skeptic, the fact that it quotes Jesus is not a very impressive fulfillment of prophecy, because essentially Jesus knew Psalm 22 and he just quoted it. So it's kind of like a self-fulfilling one. But moving on, another verse, Psalm 22, 7, everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads saying, is this the one who relies on the Lord? Then let the Lord save him. If the Lord loves him so much, let the Lord rescue him. And that's pretty much exactly what Matthew 27, 39, and 43 says what happened. But again, you know, I put my skeptic hat on and say, well, you know, the apostles could have written that in later, you know, or well, maybe they didn't make it up, but it was probably a fairly common thing for someone on the cross to be mocked by the enemies if they had any, you know, gloating is not an impressive prophecy. But continuing on, Psalm 22, 14, my life is poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. The dropping of the cross into the hole jars bones out of joint. And so now we're getting into a very specific way of death that it predicts the Messiah would suffer that hadn't even been invented yet. So that really rattles my skeptical mind a little bit. And then it says, my life is poured out like water. And of course, when the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, blood and water flowed out. And that's kind of a disturbing prophecy as a skeptic, like, whoa. But it says life poured out like water, not literally water. So maybe I can say it's a coincidence. But as the chapter goes on, it just continues to build like more and more things. Verse 15, my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. And in John 19:28, he says, I'm thirsty. And of course, crucifixion would be something that, yeah, would really not only pull your bones out of joint, but make you incredibly thirsty as you died. And verse 18, they divide my clothes among them and throw dice for my garments. That's predicted 1,000 years before Matthew 27, 35, after they nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. And so lots of coincidences, but a lot of these I can say, well, maybe the disciples, they knew Psalm 22, they made up the story about the guards, you know, throwing dice. Actually, I have a Roman die in my office. They were quite the gamblers, the Roman guards. You often find these things at different, you know, excavation sites. But the biggest one, and I'm kind of going on here, but the most difficult prophecy in Psalm 22 to reconcile with a skeptical mind is verse 16, where it says, they pierced my hands and my feet. That was written, again, hundreds of years before crucifixion was invented. You had to get bones out of joint, you had to be thirsty, and you had to pierce someone's hands and feet. There wasn't a method of death that did that. Or, you know, back when Psalm 22 was written, and so it's so specific that secularists and even Jewish skeptics of Christianity have said that it doesn't say that. And the reason they say it doesn't say pierce my hands and feet is because the Jewish copies of Psalm 22, 16 from the 900s, so, you know, 900 years after Jesus's crucifixion, the Jewish copies of that psalm say, like a lion, my hands and feet, like a lion, you know, maybe attacked my hands and feet, or, you know, they kind of, it's poetic, so it doesn't really make sense. But, and because the word lion and the word pierced is really just one letter different. And so they disregard that prophecy because they say it never really said pierced. That was something that Christians came along later and changed it to. But actually the Christian copies are 600 years older than the Jewish copies. And so usually in every other instance, everyone goes with the older, but we can't go with the older because that would mean that's too specific. That would mean the prophets knew 1,000 years in advance of something they couldn't know without God revealing it to them. And that would point really to Jesus being the Messiah. So this debate went on through the centuries. It's kind of like high stakes detective story. And then the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered in 1947. And people said, well, this will decide the debate. But the only copy of Psalm 22:16 that survived, that one word was damaged and was, you know, had crumbled and was not there. And so it looked like the debate would never be settled. But another cave was found with scrolls in a remote Israeli desert cliff called Nahal Hever. And listeners could look that up on the internet, Nahal Hever scroll. And it had Psalm 22:16 in it. And it was dated to about the time of Jesus. It was copied by Hebrew Jewish scholars, 900 years older than any previous Jewish copy, 300 years older than the Christian copies. A picture of the text was published in 1997. And guess which word it had? Did you think it had lion or pierced?
Pierced.
Yeah, you're right. And so, you know, evidence like that, you think, wow, people must have said, oh, it must be that Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. It's so specific, we were wrong. But of course, that's not the response of the skeptics. The skeptics then said, well, maybe hands doesn't mean hands and feet doesn't mean feet. Or they said, well, that copyist clearly, he just misspelled it. Like he copied it wrong. Because no amount of evidence is going to convince someone who has blind faith that Jesus was not the Messiah. But even with my skeptic hat on, reading Psalm 22, I come away saying, wow, that he had to have been who Psalms was talking about. He fits it so well. There's no amount of coincidence. And so this is the foundation of my faith, not just Psalm 22:16, but other prophecies like that, because no matter how I feel and no matter what experiences I have, the logic, the science, the evidence, it just doesn't go away. And it creates this solid foundation that Paul talks about. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said.
Yeah, that's excellent teaching, Pastor Bob, and thank you so very much. You've been listening in to Life Change Weekend, and this is an excellent study on, I guess we would call it, Christian evidences and evidences of our faith. And my dear friend, if you don't know Christ, I encourage you to come to Christ. Pastor Bob, can you, in 30 seconds, tell a listener how to come to Christ?
I would five words, make Jesus your Savior and Lord. I guess that's six words. That's really the bottom line, to ask Jesus to forgive you and then to give him your life. And if you believe he's real, if you believe the evidence that is in Psalm 22, then that's the decision you need to make, to say, God, forgive me, and I want to follow you, and I give you my life.
Yeah, that's wonderful, Pastor Bob. Thank you for listening in, and don't forget to join us Monday through Friday for our daily studies from the Word of God. Fridays, we often have a guest in with us as well, and on Saturdays, as today, we have guests in often giving testimonies, talking about the books they've written, and sometimes, like today, studying God's Word. Pastor Bob will be back with us next week, and as we continue on with some studies with him, and we're so delighted to have him with us today. Have a wonderful day, my friend. Have a wonderful weekend. And remember, Jesus, who is Savior and Lord, his life in your life is life-changing.
Listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of Indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. That's dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.